So, what's going on here? Why am I preaching today on the story of David and Goliath? Surely you all know it by heart. Surely you encountered it in a children's Bible when you were a kid, and you remember an illustration of Goliath, big and mean and ornery, and little David with a slingshot. We all know the story. Indeed, this is one of the Bible tales that has made its way out into the wider culture, and everybody understands the references and the symbolism. And that's why on the front of the bulletin, the quote is from the great Wilt Chamberlain: "Everyone roots for David, nobody pulls for Goliath." Now, I have tremendous respect for Mr. Chamberlain's basketball prowess and acknowledge that he is indeed one of the greats of the parquet. However, I wonder about his interpretation of Scripture. Does everybody root for David? Is it true that nobody pulls for Goliath? I look at our political scene today, and I actually see a lot of people who seem to be cheering on the bully. And I know that's not what the church should be doing. David knew that too. David was aware that whatever success he was going to enjoy was going to be because and for God. I think when we often tell this story, we mold it to our own needs, our own desires. So we like to hear how the little guy, without many resources, is able to take down the big bad forces of oppression. And everybody here can think of some big bad force of oppression they want to take down. It could be their boss. It could be the IRS. It could be somebody at school. Everybody has somebody that they feel is abusing them, is making things unfair for them, is somehow lording it over them. And if only they could wield their slingshot and bring them down, that would be good. We often tell this story, but we leave God out of it. And he's not a tangential player here. God is present throughout the action. And this is one of those cases where the lectionary, while a good thing because it helps us walk through Scripture over the course of the year, ill serves us because we lose the passage that comes before and comes after this reading. We lose sight of what's happening here. So before this encounter between David and Saul, and then David and Goliath, we have the armies of Israel and the Philistines meeting on opposite sides of a valley. Now, the Philistines, as you know from reading your scripture, were the bad guys. And indeed, they have been for a long time. It's believed that they were descended from the Sea People, a group of outsiders. Nobody knew where they came from, but in 1177 BC, these invaders swept through the Mediterranean world, toppled governments, created complete chaos, essentially brought civilization to its knees. And those memories stayed with Israel for hundreds and hundreds of years. These people were no good. So, you remember that Israel wanted a king, and they clamored for one. And Samuel said, "Don't do it, you're going to regret it." And God said, "No, give them what they want." So they got a king, they got Saul. And he was tall, and he was strong, and he looked like a king, and he talked like a king, but he was human. So he was able to fail. And Israel had wanted a deliverer, someone who could lead them to battle, win their fights, and here they are on the battlefield, and it's not quite working out the way they wanted. Now, we all remember stories of single combat in the ancient world, in ancient literature. We remember Achilles in the Iliad. We remember Gilgamesh and Mimuna Elish, this strong figure who comes out and represents one side and ultimately prevails, defeats evil, and all is well with the world. This story fits into that pattern, but we see something different. We see here David as a young man. and he is not endowed with any super abilities or any special qualities other than his faith. Now we hear Saul at first saying, you can't do this. You're a boy. You're going to get creamed. And he is judging everything by the standards of the world. David isn't tall enough, he's not strong enough, he's not skilled enough. But David believes otherwise. He believes that God will work through him to deliver his people. And so Saul relents. He says that David could go out and be the champion of Israel. Goliath had taunted the Israelites for 40 days. Every day he walked out to the battlefield and said, come on, I want to go mano a mano with one of you. And whoever wins the fight will win the battle. Every day he comes out, and every day he goes back to his tent. And finally, David wants to know what's going on. He's heard about the challenge. He's at the field of battle, not as a warrior, but because he was delivering food to his older brothers. And they think he wants to get into a fight. But that hadn't been his intent. So he tells Saul that he will go forth and fight Goliath. And Saul immediately wants to equip him with his armor and his sword and his weapons. And you can just imagine David is standing there wearing the helmet and the breastplate. It's probably all too big for him. And rather than looking like a fearsome fighter, he looks like a figure of fun. He knows that Saul's weapons are not going to be of any use. And so he takes them off and goes into battle with his slingshot. Now here we have Saul saying to David, God be with you, God bless you. And it reminds us of politicians today who always say, God bless America. And we wonder how much faith is really behind that statement. Saul knew the forms. He knew what he was supposed to say. But Saul believed that he could win the fight, that he could lead Israel. And now he's finding out otherwise. David brought real faith with him onto the battlefield. And as we see in a very short description, this is it. This is the big, big telling of the battle here, which we all remember. When the Philistines drew near to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. That's it. There's no description of this great fight, this great standoff. Now imagine that this were a Marvel movie that was coming out this summer, and how the battle would have been pitched. It would have taken 90 minutes of preparation and looking at one another and all sorts of other stuff going on before David finally had the big showdown with Goliath. And then the battle itself would have taken another 90 minutes. But that's not what happens here. Instead, we get this long prelude to the battle. And it's about David attesting to what God is going to do in him and through him. With God's power, I will carry the day. The God of Israel, the living God, will triumph. Now, we hear this story, and maybe it makes some of us uncomfortable because there is a lot of violence here. People die. People have their heads cut off. This is serious stuff. And the Philistines, as I mentioned before, were Israel's mortal enemies. And here we see the Philistine, Goliath, described as being uncircumcised. He's unclean. He's not one of us. There's definitely an us and a them in this moment. But one has to wonder, what if the Philistines had recognized the power of the God of Israel? What if they had accepted him? The story would have been very different. But that's not what happened. So, is this story about the little guy finally getting his due? Well, I don't think that's it. This story is a testament to the power of faith, to a belief in the power and the faithfulness of God of Israel. And that's a different moral for us. It's a different message. Maybe it's not the one we want to hear. But as I said before, Scripture often tells us what we need to hear rather than what we want to hear. So, we need to be responsible with our Scripture and how we tell stories. We need to include the details. We need to remember who is in the story. It's not just David and Goliath, but it's David and Saul and Goliath and the armies of Israel and the armies of the Philistines, and most importantly, the living God. The children's Bibles I read from before got that right. I hope when we think of this story, we too will get it right. And we will remember what is actually going on here.